And either turn with me to Numbers chapter 34, or you can simply listen along. And if you happen to have a pew Bible, you'll find Numbers 34 on page 263. And let me just take a few moments to prepare our hearts for hearing God's word for Numbers 34. Just by way of context, the Israelites, we know, had been set free from Egypt, and they were promised a promised land, but unfortunately there was a lot of unfaithfulness in Israel, and so God made them wander in the wilderness. But in the book of Numbers, we're getting increasingly to the point where they're about to enter the promised land, and God then tells them of the boundary places that Israel will have when they go into the promised land. So this tribe goes here, this tribe goes here, etc. And one thing to just note as we listen in the reading, we'll hear about borders, as I'm mentioning, and it's good to just note the importance of borders. Imagine if you are living here and then you have your neighbor here, but there is no border separating between you and your neighbor. There's no delineation between whose property was who. And if that was the case, then your neighbor could just kind of come over, pick some food from your garden, take it back to their house. Your neighbor could come, build a garage on your property. There would be no delineation between the two, and it becomes chaos. So in this case, there's, when God said that there were to be borders of his people, he did it for a very specific reason. He wanted them to have some sort of separation from all of the idolaters in the land that they were going to enter. There are many who are worshiping all sorts of gods, gods that they would sacrifice little kids to, gods that they were doing all kind of crazy things to worship them. And God says to his people, Israel, when you enter, you need the boundaries so as not to participate in their idolatry. So there was a reason to have those boundaries. But we do learn in the history of Israel, sadly, they didn't really hold to this. They sadly let these idolaters, these enemies of God, kind of commingle. And in time, Israel became idolaters in many ways. They more and more forsook the living God. But something really key to keep in mind is God had this physical promised land promised for his people. But that wasn't the end game. That promised land was merely something to point to a better promised land. In other words, to the promised land of heaven that we all long for and look forward to. So we're like the Israelites on this journey waiting for our promised land. And there will be, in some sense, boundaries in that promised land of heaven. Because in that promised land, there will be no more enemies of God entering into heaven. There will be no more sin. There will be no more death. No more sorrow. No more tears. No more pain. God will make sure that his people are protected in that promised land. So as we read Numbers 34, let your minds go toward that true promised land. Even in the book of Hebrews, it talks about this. It says of Abraham, in Hebrews 11, it says, "For Abraham was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." So that's what we look forward to, that heavenly Mount Zion, that true promised land. So that's one application. One other brief application, and I hope as we read this, we don't get too bogged down by the details, but one thing we can note by all the details in this particular chapter is that God does care about details. God wants us to be good stewards. So as he gives very detailed instructions, it's a good reminder for us that we should be ones who are detailed in noting our budgets. Looking at the gifts that God has given us, the time that God has given us. Let us be aware of all these resources God has given us to be good stewards of it, to use it well, what he has given to us. So just keep that in mind as we, as I said, there will be a number of details drawn out in this text. So with that in mind, we hear from God in his word, Numbers 34. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the children of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, the land of Canaan to its boundaries. Your southern border shall be from the wilderness of Zin, along the border of Edom. Then your southern border shall extend eastward to the end of the Salt Sea. Your border shall turn from the southern side of the ascent of Akrabim, continue to Zin, and be on the south of Kadesh Barnea. Then it shall go on to Hazar Adar, and continue to Asmon. The border shall turn from Asmon to the brook of Egypt, and it shall end at the sea. As for the western border, you shall have the great sea for a border. This shall be your western border. And this shall be your northern border. From the great sea you shall mark out your border line to Mount Hor. From Mount Hor you shall mark out your border to the entrance of Hamath. Then the direction of the border shall be toward Zedad. And the border shall proceed to Ziphron. And it shall end at Hazar Enon. This shall be your northern border. You shall mark out your eastern border from Hazar Enon to Shepham. The border shall go down from Shepham to Riblah on the east side of Ain. The border shall go down and reach to the eastern side of the sea of Shinnereth. The border shall go down along the Jordan, and it shall end at the Salt Sea. This shall be your land with its surrounding boundaries. Then Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, "This is the land which you shall inherit by lot, which the Lord has commanded to give to the nine tribes and to the half-tribe. For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance. And the half-tribe of Manasseh has received its inheritance. The two tribes and the half-tribe have received their inheritance on this side of the Jordan, across from Jericho, eastward, toward the sunrise." And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "These are the names of the men who shall divide the land among you as an inheritance, Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun. And you shall take one leader of every tribe to divide the land for the inheritance. These are the names of the men from the tribe of Judah, Caleb the son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of the children of Simeon, Shemuel the son of Amud. From the tribe of Benjamin, Eliadad, the son of Chislon. A leader from the tribe of the children of Dan, Buki, the son of Jogli. From the sons of Joseph, a leader from the tribe of the children of Manasseh, Haniel, the son of Ephod. And a leader from the tribe of the children of Ephraim, Kemiel, the son of Shipton. A leader from the tribe of the children of Zebulun, Eliasaphan, and the son of Parnach. A leader from the tribe of the children of Issachar, Paltiel, the son of Azan. A leader from the tribe of the children of Asher, Ehud, and the son of Shemlomi. And a leader from the tribe of the children of Naphtali, Pedael, the son of Mehud. These are the ones that the Lord commanded to divide the inheritance among the children of Israel and the land of Canaan." That is God's word. We now have a privilege to go to the Lord in prayer. And as Elder Dave may mention some items, I'll bring those up in prayer. Let us go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you that you care for us as a father to his children. And we recognize that you are a good father. Lord, we come to you and we ask for bread. You won't give us a stone. Lord, we come to you and you know our weaknesses and our infirmities. You are a compassionate God. Lord, although you are holy and pure and righteous in all your ways, you have condescended to know us and to clean us, to cleanse us sinful, rebellious people, and to make us right with you through Jesus. And so we rejoice in you. We rejoice in Jesus Christ, the one who saved us. And he's not only saved us, but he's made us new. He's redeemed us so we can live new life in you and be fruitful and to see you using us to advance your kingdom. So Lord, what a privilege it is. And I pray that the saints here at Christ Presbyterian would increasingly realize the privilege they've been given in you. I pray, Lord, that they would see that your commandments are not burdensome, but they're given to your people as a way to show their love back to you. Help them to be both hearers of the word and doers of the word. I pray, Lord, that you would bless their worship Bless our worship, that it would be pure and honorable to you, that we would not just have outward forms of worship, but our hearts would be aligned with you. Lord, I pray that you as the God of light would shine light into our hearts. If we have any dark areas of our heart that we're holding back from you, Lord, help us to forsake that. Make us people quick to repent of our sins, quick to extend forgiveness to one another. Lord, you say that your people will be known for their love for one another, and I pray that love would be so evident here in the body, that people would reconcile with one another, seek one another's good, even outdo one another in showing honor. Lord, help one another bear each other's burdens, to pray for one another, to encourage one another. And in light of that, Lord, we pray for those in our midst. I pray for Arian and Shane as they expect their child. Lord, continue to give health and nourishment to the baby in the womb. And I pray for a safe delivery. And Lord, just prepare them as parents. Give them wisdom. It is quite the responsibility to be parents. So Lord, may they rely on your grace to strengthen them for that journey. Thank you for all of the families here in the congregation. Bless the children to walk in you, to help the parents to train the children the fear and admonition of the Lord. And I pray for Shane in his training, that you'd help him with his work training, the intensive work training, to have stamina in that, and to work heartily into the Lord in all that he does. Lord, I lift up Lillian. We recognize she's in a hard situation with her work. I pray that you would give her perseverance, give her encouragement in this time. Lord, give her the strength she needs. And I pray, Lord, for mercy, that her employer would give her time for her studies. Thank you that she has the opportunity to do studies. Give her a sharp mind to understand all the material. And Lord, just be with her. Give her an extra measure of grace. Be with her family. This is a difficult time, but Lord, be near to them. And Lord, thank you that the congregation here is committed to sharing your gospel in the neighborhood. Bless the many gospel seeds that are going out each week. Lord, bear fruit from that. I pray that there would be more and more people calling upon your name here in the community, and they would be brought out of darkness into light. And give your people here boldness. Give them love for the lost and love for the honor and glory of your name right here in the Grandview area. And Lord, thank you for Andrew Barnes and his faithful labor amongst the flock here. I pray that you would give him a refreshment in his vacation. Pray for safe travels on the way back. Lord, thank you for everyone here today. May you be with us, bless us as we hear the word preached. May it be your word and not mine. May it be blessed by your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.